before we come to the word. I expect you're expecting Pastor Yates tonight. Well, he contacted me earlier, and just for your prayers, particularly for Margaret. Her father was taken into Luton Hospital, having suffered a stroke. So I quickly responded to say, quite understand, and be assured of our prayers for him. So just remember in your prayers, it's Stephen Scott Pearson. He was taken into hospital and he's had a stroke. I think it's not the first time. So Margaret has gone up to, she flew up to Bedford. I'm not sure where from, but she flew up, I was told. So that just puts you in the picture why Thomas isn't standing here at this time. Well, let's then come to the Word of God. We'll turn tonight again to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and have continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and drink thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Amen. May God add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Well, for a few moments tonight, if we turn to verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Dear congregation, as we know, Ruth came to faith in Jesus Christ. She fled unto him for refuge, and found herself saved and under his protection. And this was recognised by Boaz one day, who would later become her husband. Boaz knew this. He had been informed. Dear brethren, it is a blessing that others know that we have come to faith in Jesus Christ and that we are knowing him to be such a refuge. Well, on a certain day in the providence of God, Ruth went out and entered part of the field that belonged to a certain man named Boaz to glean corn. Well, let's come to verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Having love and affection in her heart, she desires to go and glean, to be of assistance to her mother-in-law. In the providence of God, she comes to a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And Boaz takes note of her. And Ruth soon finds herself in conversation with him. She's in conversation with the Redeemer. And what a blessing it is, dear brethren, that we know what it is to commune with the Redeemer. Well, let's just note part of this conversation. In verse 8 we read, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He had been informed who Ruth was, and he desires Ruth to stay. He speaks to her, go not to glean in another field. And this conversation begins. Notice verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She's amazed that Boaz, such a man, should have come and spoken to her. And it reminds us we ought to be daily amazed that our blessed Redeemer, in his condescension, grace and love, has come to commune with us. And how blessed we are that he continues to commune. He comes each day to dine with us. How blessed we are when we know that those dining times with Christ. Well, the conversation unfolds, and we note in verse 11, Boaz begins to speak of her to her face. It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz knew. He speaks to her, and he makes known that he knew that she had come to faith, and that she was trusting in the Lord. Ruth was identified as being a believer. Dear brethren, we are believers. Let more and more people know this is the case as we live in this world. What a blessing to be trusting in the Lord and to be sheltered by him. Well, two things for the remainder of our time tonight. First of all, faith in the Lord. And secondly, gathered under the Lord. Faith in the Lord. And secondly, gathered under the Lord. Note these words. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. There she was. She was trusting in the Lord, having had faith put within her heart. She had come to trust in the Lord through the grace of God, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She was drawn by grace. She found herself under the Lord, and she was looking unto him. Well, we have here this word, trust. At the root of the word, it speaks of to flee for protection, to confide in, to make refuge, to have hope, to trust. Well, through the grace of God, she had fled unto the Lord for refuge. She had been shown her sin, and she had cried out for mercy, and she had been drawn to Christ. She had confided in him. She had confessed her sin. And she had asked him to be her saviour. And she was trusting in him at this time. In Psalm 91, verse 1 through to verse 4, we read, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. There we see the psalmist. He's under the Lord. And there he is, trusting in Him. And that's Ruth here. She's under the Lord. She fled to Him for protection. And she is trusting Him. She had faith in God. Now in Ephesians 1 verse 12, we read these words. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now the apostle is thinking of the Jews, and also himself, who had come to first trust in Christ in those days. Secondly, the brethren we can consider at Ephesus. But he speaks that testimony, that they had first trusted in Christ. He looks back, and he is at peace. He's trusting in the Lord. Well, Ruth, many years earlier, she had trusted in the Lord. Is there anyone here tonight, you're not a Christian, or that you would tonight trust in the Lord? Now consider the background of Ruth. She'd been brought up in the land of Moab, and there was great idolatry there. We read of it in Numbers 25, verses 1 through to verse 3. Such idolatry. Yet the Lord saved Ruth. Now Ruth and her sister Orpah were well acquainted with the idolatry in Moab. If you go back to chapter 1, we notice that Naomi seeks to test Ruth after her sister had returned. Ruth 1 and verse 15. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law." It was well known, the idolatry, the worship of idols in Moab. And Ruth's sister, she had gone back. Well, here's Naomi, she's testing Ruth. Had her heart really been opened? Was she truly trusting in the Lord? Ruth, though she knew much idolatry, had been delivered from it. And she was trusting in the Lord. What a country she had come from. What gross idolatry. And it reminds us of our own country. What idolatry there is in this country. How many worship idols. So many Buddhas. Many worship Muhammad. And so on. And then there was the worship of self. And so many in this area bow down to themselves. Their belly is their God. They live for themselves. What idolatry. What sin we are witnessing in this nation. That God is able to save ladies like Ruth in this nation. He's able to save many. He can draw so many unto Himself. And He's doing it today. There are those who are coming to trust in the Lord. Now in chapter 1 we have clear evidence that the Lord hath worked in Ruth's heart. Naomi tests her. And in her response he shows that a work of grace hath been done. Let's notice verse 16. "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For wherever thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." She didn't want to go back, though her sister had, though it was her home. She didn't want to go back. Her life was changed. She wanted to go with Naomi. She now was trusting in the God of Naomi. She was trusting in the true and living God. She couldn't go back to her way, the way she used to live. There was this clear evidence. She wanted to go with Naomi. She was a true believer. What a blessing to know that we are the Lord's. To know, yes, I could not go back to that old way of life. I must continue to live my life for the Lord. Well, she had been given this wonderful gift of faith. Her eye was on the Lord. We see that in verse 16. And Boaz knew it. Boaz knew that she had been given faith. Dear brethren, let's just pause tonight and consider what a wonderful gift faith is. It is the gift of God, as we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. We all like receiving gifts. Some young ladies like receiving a necklace. Some have liked to receive a ring. We like receiving gifts, maybe some food or an item of clothing, something precious. Gifts can mean so much. Does faith mean so much to you that you each day want to exercise faith in Jesus Christ? You want to deny yourself and you want to look unto Jesus. How precious has the gift been to you today? It's a gift. A gift from the Lord. As Ebenezer Erskine makes known, it doesn't grow in the soul of a depraved nature. No, it's put within by the Holy Spirit. How precious has the gift of faith been to you today? What are evidences that one is treasuring the gift? They're looking to the Lord. They're considering Christ. They count him as precious. They want to spend time with him. They're trusting him in the storm because they know that is the only way. Have you this day held the gift of faith in esteem? Oh, that we would esteem more what the Lord has put within our hearts. And that we would use faith more often. That we would exercise faith. But take comfort, dear brethren. Though at times our faith may appear small, we have faith. We are justified and we are on our way to heaven. But oh, to esteem more the gift of faith we have within our hearts. Particularly when we consider the majority of people have an empty heart in this regard. They do not have this gift. They do know what it is to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They do not know what it is to lean on the beloved, as we see in the Song of Solomon 8 verse 5. How empty is the soul without Christ and the gift of faith. Oh, that men and women would have this wonderful gift given to them, implanted within. Well, Ruth had this gift implanted within her soul, and Boaz knew it. And he rejoices, and there's a sparkle in his eye. He knows there's something precious about this lady. What a blessing it is to meet people who have the gift of faith. Well, Ruth had received this wonderful gift. She was looking unto the Lord. And dear brethren, what a blessing that is to look unto Jesus. Can I ask you as pastor, make sure you do it again tonight before you go to bed. Look unto Jesus. And when you get up in the morning, do the same. What a wonderful object to behold. Oh, that I would behold this object more often and would more readily behold the object. That I, with a clearer vision, would behold the object. Dear brethren, keep looking unto Jesus. This is what Ruth is doing. She had come from Moab. It was her home, but she had left home and she wasn't going back to that way of life because her eye was upon the Lord. She was willing. She looked to the Lord. Just notice the willingness in verse 16. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Thy people shall be willing, we're told in Psalm 110. So she was. Her eye was on the Lord, and she could but follow the Lord. And she speaks of him. She speaks of him to Naomi. Thy God, my God. And there's an evidence, isn't it, of faith. That one talks of their beloved Saviour. Yes, I do not talk enough. But all one does talk. They make known in the waters of baptism. And they say what they can. Dear brethren, what do we read in Malachi 3 verse 16? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that fought upon his name. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. I was on the coach the other day, part of the journey towards Wattisham, and this gentleman came and sat next to me. And I soon discovered that he was a great fan of Spurs. I think it's Spurs. He was a follower, one of the fan. And that's what we talked about. And he went a little quiet when I told him who I was. But you knew what his interest was. Boaz knew what the interest was in Ruth's heart. And dear brethren, let's talk of the Lord. The day that feared the Lord spake often. We need to focus on that often. What will we be doing in heaven? We will be always, or to be more often now. Let's focus particularly firstly on the Lord's days. I begin myself, I fell so often. But all to speak more. To be like Ruth, more on the Lord's days. Speaking of the Lord our God. And then through the week. Those of you who are married, it's a blessing, isn't it, to speak together of the Lord. Those in the families, brethren, speaking together. Here's Ruth, she's come to faith, and she's speaking of the Lord. We often see it in the new convert, don't we? One speaking of the Lord. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes as the years passes, with some believers, it's not quite so frequent till a time comes. But oh, to be so zealous as once we were, if we feel we have gone a little cold. Oh, to speak of the Lord, to exercise faith, to focus on him and speak of him. Think about God at this moment. Do you find your heart looking up to him, resting in him, trusting in him? Well, here's Ruth, she had come to trust, and she was trusting now. Her hope was in the Lord. She was resting in the Lord for salvation. She was resting as she was walking. She was resting as she was working. She was resting as she went on her business this day. It was taken notice of by Boaz. Now the children of God need to exercise faith each day. For there are hurdles in the pathway of the believer. Just consider Ruth a little later on. There was a hurdle for her. Was Boaz going to be the one she would marry? What did Naomi say to her in Ruth 3 verse 18? Sit still, my daughter. Sit thou until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Sit still. She was to sit still. My mother said to me the other day, Lord's Day evening, people in the church always know when my back is bad because I'm a fidget. What are you like spiritually? Sometimes are we fidget spiritually? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Sit still, and it's so important. It's not easy to sit still at times. But we've come to trust in the Lord. We need, through the Lord's help, to exercise faith and sit still. So important. And as we sit still, let's take comfort. Our Redeemer is at work. Ruth was concerned. Who was she going to marry? Would it be Boaz? Anxiety and panic can set in. And one can find themselves vexed, wondering what is going to happen. And we're all but human, aren't we? One can be troubled. Oh, we need to rest. We need to pray with the psalmist, lead me to the rock. Knowing our weakness, we need to be led to get there, that we might rest on him and sit still. We've come to trust. Dear brethren, let's trust him. One of old wrote, I am trusting thee to guide me. Thou alone shalt lead, every day and hour supplying all my need. Trusting in him, staying close to him. or that the distance would be closed, if there's a distance, that we would be more resting in him. Leaning on the beloved, in the Song of Solomon 8 verse 5 we read, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Who is it? Have you already said to the Lord, it's me, Lord. I'm leaning on thee. I'm leaning on thee, Lord Jesus. I want to ask you as pastor, how quickly do you find yourselves being the doers of the word in the sermons? Are you leaning now? You saying to the Lord, Lord, it's me. I may be struggling, but I'm leaning. Well, the one we lean on, no one better is there than the beloved. And what a privilege of grace that we are leaning on the beloved. Leaning on him. Well, Ruth had faith in God. Well, second is we draw to a close. Gathered under the Lord. Gathered under the Lord. Just note these words in closing. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now we read here of the wings being ascribed to God. And as we know, God does not have any physical wings, but he is a spirit. But it's there, put there to reveal something or declare something about God. And what does it declare? Well, it tells us something about his care, his protection, his affection, and how he deals with us. Think of some feathery fowl. For example, a hen. Remember those words in Luke 13, verse 34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. You see the illustration of the Lord? He gives there of the hen, and the little chicks under the wings. And he says, how often I would have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. And ye would not, he would. If there's anyone without Christ, consider Christ would gather you. But you're so stubborn. Oh, that your heart would be broken. But think of the illustration there. The little chicks under the wings, gathered there for protection. Well, Ruth had been gathered under the Lord. She had been drawn. Left to herself, she would still be in Moab. But in the providence of God, Naomi came there. Though she went there because her faith was not as it ought to have been at that time. But she went there. In the providence of God, she was found there. And Ruth meets her. And she comes and she's given faith. She's drawn. She's not left in Moab. Dear brethren, without the Lord, we would still be in the house of bondage. But we have been drawn, gathered. And what a one we have been gathered unto. We've been brought unto him for refuge. Think of the hen again. Under the wings the chicks are gathered. And they find protection and warmth. The little fluffy little chicks are warmed under the wings. There's safety. There's comfort. So not only do we think of safety, but we think of comfort. The little ones are covered, first of all, there's safety. But there's comfort. And it speaks of affection, doesn't it? Ruth was in a place of protection. But in a place wherein she would be comforted, warmed, and she would know that God loved her. And what a blessing it is when we sense that God is over us, and that we are the apple of his eye, and we are loved by him. Gathered unto him and warmed by him, comforted within our soul. Just note these lovely words. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Dear brethren, you're there. At times we may not sense it, but we're already there. The comforts are there for you then. The protection is already there. We are there. We're in a wonderful place of refuge. In a place of great shelter. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In the secret place, near to the heart of God, under the shadow of the Almighty. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are under the shadow of the Almighty. As you go into the workplace, remember the Almighty shadows you. As you go into the school, as you go into the place of education, in the home, into the troubling waters, the Almighty shadows you. What else do we need? What a place of shelter he is, a refuge. And there in Psalm 91, we think of the word refuge. At the root of the word, it speaks of a shelter, a place of hope or trust. And what a blessing it is when we're there, having sensed it, and we're trusting in the Lord. Yes, we're there all the time, but then in another sense, we flee to him for refuge. And then what a blessing when we sense that he's there for us and we're trusting him. And what a blessing when we're near him and he gives us that encouragement and we're trusting in him. We're at the refuge and we're at the feet of Jesus. Psalm 91, verse 2. He is my refuge. And there the psalmist is declaring, I'm there, Lord. Thou art my refuge. And he declares to the others, look where I am. I'm at the feet of Jesus. To speak often of this. Well, that's where Ruth was. I'll consider a few things in closing. She's there under the Lord. Firstly, if one is sheltered under God, they are safe from divine. There is no condemnation. Ruth knew her sins were forgiven and that she was on the way to heaven. Dear brethren, you are sheltered. Therefore, there is no condemnation. The wrath of God will not find you out. Though we grieve our Heavenly Father, his wrath will not find us out in order that we are condemned. No. Why? Because of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He's delivered us. What a blessing to be there then, sheltered by the Lord, delivered from the wrath to come. What a blessing. We're under the wings of God, sheltered. Wrath is what one deserves, but the believer is sheltered and comforted by him. What mercy. What a mercy it is to be sheltered by the Lord. He so hates our sin. He was so angry. But now he shelters us. What a God we have. But then secondly, as we think that we have been gathered unto the Lord, the believer is protected from the enemy. Satan and others can attack, but they cannot destroy the soul. Our Lord said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man, not one of our enemies, can take us from Christ. What a comfort that is. Satan may seek to sift us, if he could, to get the grace out of us, but he can't. He may sift us, but he cannot snatch us away. The believer is protected from the enemy. Thirdly, there's comfort. Think again of those little chicks. They're comforted there. There's comfort to be found. Ruth, she had grown up in Moab. She knew Moab. Her family was there. Why did she go to Bethlehem? Because she knew God to be her father, and she was comforted by him. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. In all our tribulation. No matter the circumstance we come to, there is comfort that is sufficient for us in that circumstance. Comfort in affliction. Comfort in difficulties. Comfort from the God of all comfort. And we're there. We're there under his wings. Further comfort is awaiting to come your way. You may have concerns about the present, but oh, take comfort that God is the God who performeth all things for me. You may have financial concerns, but the God of all comfort says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You may have concerns about death, and it's a valley, it's a vale of tears, and one can struggle through the valley, but there is comfort for the believer. There's comfort, but then further, there's warmth. Think of the chicks, they're near to the mother, the hen. They know protection, they know comfort because they're there, but they also know warmth. And not only can the believer know comfort, but this warming of the soul. Ephesians 5 verse 29, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Consider what the man does, but then consider what the Lord does. That nourishing and that cherishing. Literally to brood, at the root of the Hebrew word, rather the Greek word. To make warm by incubation. To warm the heart, to cherish. At times the believer can feel cold, but the Lord in comforting can warm the soul. This weekend we're told it's going to get very cold. So what do? We make our plans that we might be near a source of heat, or that we will consider being near to the Lord. But take comfort, he comes to warm the soul. At times we can feel cold to the Lord, but the Spirit comes at times to the believer and warms the heart through love and comfort. His left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me, says the Lord. And what he does through the Spirit, he comes to embrace. He draws us near to cherish us, to warm our souls. We may be struggling on the way, like it was for those two on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord drew near, and he came to do them good. He came to cherish their hearts. And what was the result? When he had left, they said, did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And we can know that effect. The Lord has come near. He's comforting and he's warming our souls. What a blessing it is when we know that warming of the soul. When the Holy Spirit so brings the truth to bear and reminds us of certain things. Verses come our way and there's that warming of the heart. We know what it is to be cold at times. We can be cold in sin, but then also cold in affliction. What a blessing to know a fresh, fatherly pardon, firstly, but then also comfort in affliction. That warming of the soul. But then one more thing. As we think of the wings here being, and that one is gathered under the Lord, we think of affection. Think of those little chicks there. The affection of the hen. Oh, consider what the Lord is to us. And how he has such a heart of affection for his people. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Love draws us. And love comforts us. When we are there under the Lord. He has such a heart of love. Such an affection. He so loves you. Because of the Christ, he is your sympathizing friend and high priest. Such an affection that he is touched. And so he comes. He comes to assist. He comes to support. He comes to spread his wings over you. You have been gathered. And then from a different perspective, he gathers you as a child again and again. Many are not gathered. As Christ makes plain in Luke 13, verse 34. But we have, and we know the fatherly care, and the care of the shepherd. What a blessing to be gathered unto the Lord. What a blessing to have faith. And to be gathered, as it were, as a believer, again and again, in situations we face. What did Boaz say here? The Lord recompense thy work. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And we note here, it's all of grace, isn't it? It's grace that Ruth had come to trust in the Lord, and it's because of grace that Ruth was led to the field and blessed by Boaz, but further would be blessed by the Lord. Dear brethren, what grace the Lord has towards us. What favour and what pity. It's said of you, dear brethren, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's where you are. But as we note in Psalm 61, there is that sense of being drawn to the rock, led to the rock. Dear brethren, make your way to God. Seek refuge in him. You're there, but seek refuge. Flee unto the Lord for refuge. And desire him to cherish your soul. I hear so many want to be warm in the winter. And you want to be warm in the winters of affliction. Make known your desire to the Lord. And say to him, come Lord, come Holy Spirit, and warm my soul in the winter time, that I might continue to rest in you. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank thee so much for thy grace towards us. When we consider so many in this country, they are far from thee. They have not known one moment of comfort. They are strangers to grace. Lord, we thank thee that thou, like Ruth, thou didst for Ruth, thou hast brought us to thyself. And we thank thee that thou art our refuge, and thou hast given us faith, and we are trusting in thee. O Lord, in all the situations we face in life, Lord, do come to cherish, to warm our souls, we pray. O Lord, undertake in every way, bless thy word. Lord, we are a people leaning on the beloved. Lord, till heaven, may we lean a little more and a little harder on thee, O Lord. And may we have thee more in view in the daytime. O Lord, we pray. O gracious God, we thank thee that thou art such a God to us. And Lord, as we think of this community, we pray for those who are in bondage. Lord, bring them out of their Moabs. Deliver them, O Lord. May many be drawn to thee, O Lord, even before the end of this year. Hear our prayers. Forgive us our many sins. Help us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.